As we draw ever closer to Rosh Hashanah, so we start with parshas. We have parshas Kisavai, Vahaya, Kisavai, Eloaretz. When you'll come to the land of Hashem, Lekecha, Noisen, Lecha, Nachla, and Hashem will give it to your Nachla, V'yirishta, V'yishavta, Ba. Then it says, V'lokach, and you'll take Mirejah's called Pri Adama, and you'll come to the Kayan. Vas and Pasuk Gimel Vas al Kayin Asher Yabiyam Mem. You'll give it to the Kayin, which is in those days. But Martin, you'll say, "Love, he got it the Ayoyim LaHashem Elokecha." I'm telling Hashem, "Ki Basil Oretz Asher Nishba Hashem Lava Saying Losses Lano." That I'm giving this gift of the Bikurim to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and I thank Hashem for giving us the land that He came to give us. And it goes through a whole vidui, whole thing that you say where you talk about the history of Klal Yisrael, and you express gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He brought us here, and gratitude that we now have the fruits. And as we mentioned last week, that Klal Yisrael lives in eternity. So when we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we learn Hakaras HaTov, we don't just thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what happened yesterday, or what happened today. We're about to eat a fruit, and we thank Him. But when we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the fruit He's giving us today, we talk about how did we get to having this fruit today. Because could we own a tree, and that tree is in Eretz Yisrael. And how did we get to Eretz Yisrael? Because Hashem brought us to Eretz Yisrael. And how did we come there? We came out of Mitzrayim. So whenever we do something, we have a HaKaras HaTov. And that HaKaras HaTov, that gratitude that we have to be Ribbono Shel Olam, is eternal. It's existential. It's not something, thank you for now, and we forget about it 10 minutes later, but as we've spoken often, gratitude is forever. And therefore we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we give a whole history of how we got to this moment of thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which by itself is an important lesson, that when somebody does you a favor, it shouldn't be something that's done and forgotten, but something that you thank the other person, and you thank and you remember all of the good things that they've done for you until now. And we talk about how that's a wonderful Shalom Bayis indicator. A person is a help to Shalom Bayis, help to friendships, to remember not just what you did for me lately, as the Lashon goes, the unfortunate Lashon of the street is what have you done for me lately, but what you've ever done for me is something that I will always remember and treasure. It's precious to me. So when we give our Bikurim, that's the first thing we tell the Ribbono Shel Olam. We don't just say thank you for today, we say thank you for everything you've given us, bringing us out of Mitzrayim. Thank you for taking us into Eretz Yisrael. Thank you for giving me a tree. Thank you for having the tree blossom. Thank you for everything. And that makes us a different type of person. And the truth is, by the way, just agav, that people who are filled with thanks are live happier lives. They've even done studies that people who have gratitude are happier, because other people are busy forgiving and they're unhappy. But somebody who's able to thank other people and be grateful for what he's got, that's what we call a sameach b'chelkai. So in any case, it says, what do we tell us? It says, V'lokach ha'tenem yadecha, and you take the tenna, and you go, and you say, Ki vasi el ha'aretz, for I have come to the land. You enter the land that Hashem has given you, his inheritance, possess, and dwell in it. You say, I've dwelt in this land. So I saw by Mordechai Kamenetsky, it says, what's this concept of we dwelt in the land? What does it mean? What are you telling? What's the chiddush? Kibos yilaretz. I've come to the land. I'm here. We know you're here. If you're standing in front of me, it means you're here. It's like if you tell somebody walks in my office and says, I've come to your office, I'm expecting a speech to come from it. It means I come to your office, I made a trip, I came from far away, there's a purpose. So what's the purpose of saying kibos yilaretz? I have come to the land. So he tells a very, very interesting story. It says that he was, when he learned in Pun, he learned in Punavish, and he was in the Netanya. And it was Netanya, he saw he says, to Americans seemed like an anomaly. A small Yemenite man, long curly pates dangling from his darkly tanned olive skinned face, and bouncing up and down as he, dressed in a policeman's uniform, was directing traffic. So he sees a policeman, and he's got gekreizel to pates. Now in Israel, a policeman having little pates is unusual. So he went over and he said, who are you? What are you? So he said, they started schmoozing with each other. So he said, yes, what's your name? What's your name? So he says, what's your name? He says, my name is Mordechai Kamenetsky. So he says, ooh, are you related to the great Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky who just visited Eretz Yisrael? So he says, yeah, that's my grandfather. So he says, oh, that's very exciting. Did you know that your grandfather, I made a bris last week, and your grandfather came to my son's bris? So he's looking at him, and he's saying, how did, you know, he's thinking to himself, my Zayd, at that time, he says, 89 years old, he's in Eretz Yisrael, how did he end up at a Yemeni, Taimani's policeman's son's bris? How did this come about? So he says, the policeman saw my disbelief, and he explained it. He says, at that time, Kiryat Sanz had just made the famous, the Kleisenberger Rebbe, you know, built the famous hospital in Sanz, and it really expanded the hospital, and they were looking to raise money for the new hospital. So they decided that one of the ways they were going to do it was going to bring Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Gadol Hador. He's going to come, and you know how it is, you make a photo op, you'll take pictures of him, and then you'll send it out that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky likes our hospital, so you should like our hospital too. Fine. So they sent the car to pick up Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky from wherever he was in Yerushalayim to bring him to Netanya. So he goes with his driver and he says, where are we going? He says that we're going to the hospital. So he says, no. Says Rabbi Yaakov, no, that's not right. He says, listen to what he tells him. He says, Rabbi Yaakov said, when the administrators and driver from the destination, Rabbi Yaakov said, no, we're going to the Rav. When you come to a town, your first stop is the Rav. After you greet the Rav, we'll see the hospital. This is Minhag Rabbanim. When you go into a city, it's like Lahavdil, a person in the political world will go see the mayor. In the Torah world, Adam Chashav goes to a city, you come and you see the Rav. It's not Derech Eretz to go to anybody else before you go to the Rav. So Rabbi Yaakov was teaching a lesson. First you go to the Rav. So they came to the Rav's house and he said, the Rav is at a bris. So Rabbi Yaakov said, okay, I'll go to the bris. I'll meet him over there. And guess whose bris that was? The bris of this Yemeni police officer. And that's how he got to the bris. So he said that he teaches us a tremendous lesson. He says that, imagine the Yidden, it took the Yidden 14 years to settle and conquer Eretz Yisrael. Until they settled, there was no mitzvah being Bikurim, right? Bikurim was only after they conquered it, after 14 years. All those years, no one had formally presented themselves to the Kayan. They may have gone to your shrine for the Yom Tov, but nobody went to a Kayan. So this is the first time the Kayan were like the Rabbanim by Yom Mahim, right? It says if you have a problem, you go to the Kayan. So it said over there, when the simple farmer finally presents himself to the Kayan, he uses the words, I declare to Hashem, I have come. Perhaps the Torah is subtly sending us a message. Kayan, now that I greet you, I declare that I have arrived. Because until you've greeted the Kayan, you may have battled, you may have conquered, you may have sown, and you may have reaped, but you've not arrived. And that's the lesson. It's a tremendous lesson that we have here. The lesson of the primacy of the Torah in our lives, and the person who represents Torah, the Rav, the Kayan, these represented the Torah. And the first thing he comes in and he says, Basi El Eretz, now I've come to the land. The 14 years I came, that we were busy conquering, we were busy doing all the stuff we had to do to get things together. Now I'm coming to the Kayan, now is when I've really arrived in Eretz Yisrael. In the same way, Rabbi Yaakov said, you don't really come to the city until you see the Rav. He said, you don't really come into Eretz Yisrael until you've seen the Gadol, until you've seen the Rav of the city. And that's an important lesson about how we relate. If we go on a little bit in the Parsha, so it starts talking about what the man says. So one thing it says, Vanitzak El Hashem Elokei Avaseinu, we cried out to Hashem, Pasuk Zayin, and I cried out to Hashem Elokei Avaseinu, V'yishma Hashem is Kaleinu, and Hashem heard our voices, Vayaris and Yeni saw our oppression, Vesamalenu, Veslachatsenu. And that's, of course, everyone's more familiar with this from where? From the Haggadah, right? Because that's what the whole Haggadah is based on. You know, we have each of these words. What's Amalenu, what's Laschatsenu, each thing, what's Onyenu, each thing. This is what's darshan so much and so well in the Haggadah. So I saw in a sefer stories about Rishach. The famous, the great Gadol Hador Rishach. So it says one of his famous stories was the following. He told us over. He says there was a Rebbe called the Strick of a Rebbe, and there was a Chassid was in the town where the Strick of a Rebbe was, and he was stolen a Chassid. Now, is anybody is familiar here with stolen a Chassidim? The meaning by stolen is when they daven, they scream, they yell. They don't say they're davening, don't say it quietly. like Unzer Minig, but they yelled, Shema! I remember the first time I took my son when he was 10 years old, and we had to daven Marv, we went to a stolen minion, he was like, what's going on here? But Mamish, you hear it's a Kail Raj Gadol. So there was a stolen chassid who was in the town of Strikov, and he wanted permission to daven in his way. And he knew, you know, if he's just start yelling in the middle of davening, you know, it's going to look a little bit bizarre. So he went over to the Rebbe, the Strikov Rebbe, and he came to him on Wednesday when he came into the town, and he asked permission. He says, "Listen, you know, I'm a stolen chassid, and our minig is that we davening out loud. Is it okay if I daven out loud?" So the Rebbe says, you know, it's not right. It's not right. You know, unzur derech is that we don't daven like that, and you're in our town, you got to do it like in your town. It's like I was told when you mentioned by the Yekkes, when you go to Breuer's.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yes, right. The minig is that, for example, is that the only person who wears a talus over his head is the rabbi.
Well,
everybody else, maybe now it's different.
Not much, but...
It used to be.
But in the beginning, years back, when I got... son-in-law got married, or somebody, I don't know, they heard him say everybody's done the same ratio. He never went back to Breuer.
Okay, he'll hear the right.
But now they're a little different. Okay.
You know? But this is what I heard. So, and if you did, they'll come
up. They don't call you up if you're not wearing a tie or a hat. If you're not wearing it, no.
Okay, so they have, right. So they have very specific minhagim. I'm sure every shul that all of us daven in has different minhagim. So the rabbi, the Stricker Rebbe told him, you know, I'm sorry, that's not our minig. We don't daven like that. So, you know, I'm sorry. So he said, okay, I gotta, you know, when you're in Rome, I gotta do like they do it. So he comes over and he starts to daven. And he's davening quietly. And being, he gets like into the tefillah, and he says by the time he got to Nishmas, he like forgot himself and he lost it. And he's screaming his head off. He's Nishmas, Golfa!
In
the shul. And then he chopped himself, like after like whatever few minutes, and he got very embarrassed. So after davening, he goes over to the Rebbe. He says, and his mom, she's like almost crying. He says, "Rabbi, I apologize. I know you told me I'm not supposed to. And I forgot, and I made a mistake. And please forgive me." So the Rebbe looks at him and says, "What do you have to apologize for? You didn't do anything wrong." He says, "For I cared. If you look in the 10 lashonos of tefillah, the 10 languages of tefillah, one of them is tzaket, to scream. It was very good that you screamed. That's the right thing to do. Avadi, you should scream during davening." So he looks at him, he's like, now he's really confused. He says, "Didn't you tell me that it's not the minig here and I shouldn't do it? So now you tell me it's okay." He says, "Wait a second." He says, "A yid comes to me on Wednesday and says, I want you to know on Shabbos I'm going to be so inspired and start screaming during davening. I don't know, that doesn't impress me." You know, he says, "But here you're in the middle of davening and your taka got excited? That's impressive. But don't think that ahead of time you can make yourself do it." Says that's pshat. That's what Rav Shach said. He loved that story. But nitzak al Hashem. Says we cry out to Hashem, but it has to be real crying out to Hashem. You can't on Wednesday. You know, I remember they used to. There's a certain place where we used to daven, and I remember the Baal Tefillah. One of the jokes they used to make is that in his siddur over here it says on a certain place during the tefillah on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur it says cry. You know, like that's not the way it works. You know, I obviously it was a joke. He didn't really say that. But if a person becomes inspired, they start to cry. The Frekert, it says in Yom Kippur, it says the Arizal, it's an inyan to cry. It releases all your averas and so on. But you have to feel it. You have to work on it. You can't decide on Wednesday I'm going to cry in Shabbos. So that's the lesson. Okay, let's continue. We go in Perikotches. So there's a few psukim that talk about before they get to the Teicha. There are a number of psukim which I guess are the good psukim, the chizik psukim. So you take a look. It says in Pasuk Perikov Ches, page 567, it says V'hoya im Shemaya Tishma. Will you listen b'kayil Hashem l'kecha to the voice of Hashem? Lishmar lasas kol mitzvahs asher noichim mitzav v'ayayim. All the mitzvahs I'm going to tell you today. Unesanai Hashem l'kecha, and Hashem is going to give into your hands. And the son Hashem lekecha elyon akol goyei haaretz, you'll be elevated amongst all the nations. Uvoy lecha kol habrachas eila visigucha, and all the brachas eila will come to you, all these great brachas will come to visigucha, and you will achieve them. You will gather them. You'll become part of you. Ki sishma bekayil lekecha, as you lived you listen to Hashem. Baruch atah be'ir, baruch atah basada. Blessed are you in the city, blessed are you in the field. Baruch atah b'rivid bitnecha, blessed is the fruit of the womb, priyad moscha, the fruit of your lands, pribam techa, your shkarla, feshashta, that beautiful, beautiful, beautiful things. So I saw two things from Glinsky, and then we'll go back, in Yirtzeh Hashem, to Rabbi Kamenetsky for a beautiful final vort. So he says like this. What do we say over here? We said, a lashon of v'hisigucha. It says in Pasuk Beis, v'alecha kol ha'brachos eilu v'hisigucha, and it'll come to you, you'll have them. So he wants to explain, what does this lashon mean of v'hisigucha? What does it mean you're going to gather, it's going to come to you? How does it come to you? So he says like this, he heard from the Pshischa Rebbe a beautiful thing. If you look in davening, if any of you have a sitter, you can look at it. What do we say right before we say Shemoneh Esrei every morning? We say Ram V'Nisa, Hashem is Ram V'Nisa, is elevated. Gadol V'Naira, great, awesome, right? Mashpil Geyan, he throws down the Geyan. Magvia Shvalim, and he lifts up the Shvalim. He lifts up those who are low, and he throws down those who are high. So he says, you know, you can get seasick from this. So what happens? Think about it. It says Hashem throws down the person's high, he goes down. So what happens when he gets down? Hashem lifts him up, it makes him high. What happens when he gets high? Hashem throws him down. What happens when he gets low? Hashem lifts him up. So the whole thing can be going up and down. So what does it mean? That Hashem takes those who are high and lowers them, and takes those who are low and makes them higher. So he says, what happens when Hashem makes a person great? When Hashem brings a person to greatness, what happens to that person? Does it change them? Or do they stay the same? He brings a mashal of a rav who the congregation wanted to buy him a new hat. And the rav says, I don't have $1 million for a new hat. So he said, $1 million for a new hat? What are you talking about? So the rav says, what do you mean? If I get a new hat, so I'm going to look at myself in the mirror before I go to shul to get ready. I've got to go to shul, I'm going to have this beautiful new hat, I'm going to have my old dusty kapata. That's pasnish. So I now have to get a new kapata. So I'm going to put on a new kapata, and I'm going to take a look at my shoes. The mom said, I didn't buy new shoes in 20 years. So I have to go buy new shoes. So he says, oh, now I look all nice. He says, then my wife will look at me and said, very nice. The rav goes to shul looking all like this, and I got to wear the old shmatas? So he says, now I have to buy my wife a whole new wardrobe. So we're all nice dressed and fancy now. And then she says to me, what do you mean? You know, with these nice fancy people, we live in this old shmata house, we have to remodel. So we start looking at remodeling, but doesn't pay, might as well buy a new house. But by the time you finish, this hat's costing me $1 million. So what good is it? So he says, you have to be, sigucha means it. You should not change because you moved up. Hashem's going to raise you up, you have to be the same person. Zok the Pshitzker Rebbe. It doesn't say, mashbil gvayim, he throws down those who are high. It says, mashbil geyim, he throws down who are haughty. Those who make them use that height to make themselves above other people, to aggrandize themselves. That's what the person has to be very careful, that he never gets too high, but he stays who he is. So Rabban Shalom is telling us, I'm going to give you a bracha. I'm going to give you a bracha. Things are going to be good. Shemaya Tishma. San Hashem Lekach B'yodech. Everything's going to be, you know, beautiful. But now you got a problem. You got to use it wisely. You got to use your wealth wisely. You can't use it. And it's interesting. You find it talked about by rich people. Some of them, my mom is dedicated to give tzedakah and their time of maestas. And some, you know, not always like that. So being up there, and some people can use it to lord it over other people. Other people, you say, oh, I didn't know. Taka push it to yid, you know. I remember my brother, Zayda, his name was Reb Herschel Rubinstein. Herschel Rubinstein was one of the founders and a right-hand man of Reb Aaron Cutler. He was a chicken farmer. He had, when you say he's a chicken farmer, I'm sorry, never saw a chicken. But you know, he owned, he was a very wealthy man. But I met him, and Mamsha pushed the Pailashi Yid. Just a simple person. It didn't get to him. So the Torah is telling us, Visigucha. It's got to be, you have to stay who you are. You have to be kind. So he says, this is what David HaMelech tells us. It says by David HaMelech, says, in Pasuk in Tillim. It says, Kuf Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. If you're Tillim Zog, you recognize it. It says, Hashem, lo gava libi, Hashem, my heart was not raised up. Lo rama einai, my eyes did not go up. Lo halachti begaidlois, obifloyos mimeni. And I never went with those who are above me. All these different lashonis. So the Yerushalmi tells us, each one of these lashonis tells us something. What did David HaMelech say? Lagava libi. He says the Yerushalmi, because they were pechayshed him. Lagava libi, b'shah shemashchani Shmuel. When Shmuel made him the Melech. He says, can you imagine how David could have felt over his brothers? Remember, David HaMelech was somebody that they were chayshed, wasn't even kosher. They thought he was a mamzer, or he's a psul. They had all sorts of, and they kept him in the back room, nobody should see him. And at Mistama, I don't know how they spoke to him, or how they treated him. But all of a sudden, Shmuel HaNavi walks and you're now the Melech. Can you imagine what an assignment that was to get up there and not use it to take revenge on all the people who perhaps didn't treat him properly? But that wasn't David HaMelech. David HaMelech knew that no matter how high you are, the Ribbono Shel Olam made you high. And he goes to the Medrash, goes to the Yerushalmi, goes through a bunch of things. He goes through all the other ones. He says when Shmuel HaNavi made him the Melech, he says when he beat Goliath, when he came back with the iron from the Plishtim, all of these, and that's what each of these psukim are telling us, that when a person gets high, David HaMelech said, that's who I am. We see it, he brings one other example, a very nice example. It says by Shmuel HaNavi, that we all did learn that part of Nachas early in Shmuel, that Shmuel HaNavi says his mother, Chana, made for him a me'il katan, a little cloak, a little thing. And the Chazal say that he wore it throughout his life. How do we know it? Where the Chazal says that when Shaul brought Shmuel HaNavi back, it says that Ish Zaken Oyle Vuhu Aitem Il, says the Pasuk, that he was wearing the cloak, Vayeda Shaul Ki Shmuelhu. He knew it was Shmuel because he recognized him in the cloak. It doesn't say he recognized him because he saw his face. He recognized him from the meal, he recognized him from that cloak. So Chazal tell us, the Tanchuma, Hu Amil Asher Bogadol, it's the same cloak he grew up in, it's the same one he was buried in, it's the same one he came back in. So the kash is, how did it still fit him?
Maybe
that was a mad. Oh, it could be that's shot, but that's not what he says. He says nice shot. Says a different thing. So the chayr of the kash is that what he wore when he was a kid doesn't fit. I mean, yeah, even what we wear in adults doesn't always fit. A year or two later, so for sure, how did it fit? So he says it doesn't mean that he was wearing it. It means it was a concept that Shchana, his mother, put in him a concept. I'm giving you meal cotton. You should know however great you grow, whether you're a Rav, you're going to be wearing a line with a frock. You're going to be, we were by the vision of the Rebbe, the old vision of the Rebbe Matla. He's wearing this gorgeous silver bekesh. I mean, beautiful silver bekesh. Malchus dik bekesh. But I'm sure it didn't get to him that he's wearing this fancy bekesh. He's too refined. He's too high for that. So he says that that's the pshat. He says that Shmuel, she told Shmuel that no matter how high you go, you have to always stay the same person. That's what the lesson. Meal cotton. You always should see yourself as a cotton. Don't ever see yourself as a great person. I'll just end this little piece with one little story he says that we've said. He says that there's a story that in Vilna, there was a shoemaker who won the lottery. Somehow he became very, very wealthy. And when he became very wealthy, so, he started being a wealthy person, let's put it that way. So he was making a chasana, and one of the enemies of his that didn't like him went over to him as he was walking his daughter to the chuppah, and he walks over with a shoe, and he says, how much would you charge me to change the soles on this shoe? And there was a whole tumult in the whole city because it was very embarrassing. Obviously, it's to remind him that he was a shoemaker, it was a terrible embarrassment. There was a whole tumult in the city. And this story got back to Yisrael Salanter. And Yisrael Salanter said, in that city, in Shemayim, they're going to be Taiveya, the Gedolim of Vilna, the leaders of Vilna. Why didn't you teach proper midos? Why didn't you teach proper derech eretz to the people? It was that somebody could do such a thing in your city. The leaders of the city are going to be Mund and Shemaim. Zezar could be a Sol Salanter. Rav Galinsky says, I don't understand why Rav Sol Salanter said, to me, what's wrong with being a shoemaker? What's wrong in the first place? So who's a shoemaker? It's not good. I don't know. It's an honest living. So, and he says, who says being rich is better than being poor? Maybe not. Maybe being poor is better than being rich. For Kerat, the Chazal say, Yafa ani ulusim Yisrael. It's good poverty for the Jewish people. Because the Lamaisa, poverty is less than Sioinis in terms of, and you daven better, actually, when you're poor. So that's the story. So we see this Takadis Inyan
that the person, the sigucha, that when we have to be very careful, that when, you know, when we do win the lottery and when something good happens and we get the raise and we get more money, we get more cover, we get everything, but remember, sigucha, it should catch up to you. You shouldn't be the same person that you were before. Then we said, Baruch Atah Ba'ir, Baruch Atah Basad, in the next pasuk it says, blessed are you in the city, blessed are you in the field. So he says a nice pshat on that, how to understand that. He says like this, he says, when a person gives a Nabuch Saif Yomov, a person gives a tzava, he gives out a will. And there's two types of wills. There's a will, a monetary will, and then there's what's called an ethical will. When you give over what you feel is you would like the next generation to know. See, he says it's very interesting. Who were the greatest people of Klal Yisrael that guided Klal Yisrael all the years with Nevi'im? The prophets. It says, but Nevu'ah came to an end. Because when they were Vatal Avodah Zarah, they stopped Avodah Zarah, the Chazal Davin Avodah Zarah, should stop, so you had to have, it should be balanced, so there was no more Nevu'ah. So the last of the Nevi'im was Malachi. That was the last Nevi'im, right? Chag Yisrael Malachi. And what was the last pasuk? Does he say? What does he say? So he says in the pasukim before, he tells us that we have to worry that a person, that there's kfir in the world. Shav In the Sukkim right before, he says, you should know that the biggest sign Klal Yisrael is going to have, and it's the sign today as it always was, is the cooling off of Amunah. The fact that we live in a time where Amunah is very weak, where Amunah is even made fun of, it's mocked, and it's going to be ridiculed, and you're going to be there, and you're going to be from it, and you're living in times when it's not going to be so from, right? You should know, it was interesting, throughout the generations, we might have been vilified, but the idea of Christianity, Muslim, of all Hindu, all of them, the idea was that there's Getlichkeit, there's a God. So we were not in favor, perhaps they didn't agree with our Mahalach, but everybody agreed that there's divinity. He says there'll come a time with that divinity. It says Chazal tells in Yemais Mashiach that Minos, that Apikorsis, will seize all of the governments and they'll become Apikorsis. So he says, so what does the Torah tell us? What's the last psukim in Malachi that tells us? So how do you go into this new era? As Nidru Yirei Hashem Isha Reyu, every man Yirei Hashem, those who fear God should talk to each other. The Yakshav Hashem, Hashem will listen. The Yishama, the Chamalti Aleim, Kasha Yechmul Ish Al Beno Oyvid Al Son. I will have mercy on them. That if you have other people together, if you're not by yourself, if you're together with others, then you can last forever. As long as you have a chabura, you come to shul, you listen to a shir, you're part of it, then you're somebody who can survive. And even in apikorsis. If not, you are lost. It's interesting, it's halacha, that when you leave somebody who's going on the way, it says you're supposed to say a dvar halacha to the person. So the Vilna Gaon used to always, this was the dvar halacha that says in Chazal, and the Yerushalmi says, what's the Dvar Halacha you're supposed to tell him? Yachid v'rabim halacha k'rabim. That if you have a machlokes between an individual and a group, you always go like the group of Rabbanim. And why do we say that when somebody leaves? Because if a person feels they're part of a group, even when they're by themselves, even when they're alone, they can still hold on. But if a person feels they're lost from the group, that's why the mitzvah leviyah, to say goodbye to somebody when they leave and walk them. I know when we have guests for Shabbos, you walk them out of the door and you take them at least 4 amas, right? Even if it's raining or whatever, you take them 4 amas because then they're with you. Even though they're leaving, they feel part of you. Why is that so important? So one of the reasons it's so important because that gives them the chizik to do what they're going to do. So they might walk outside and something will happen to them and they'll say, no, but I remember I was in the house where it was all from, it was good, it was edel. Even I have this nesoyin, I can stand for this nesoyin. He says, and that's what it says by Rus. It says that he brings from Chaim Zaitchik. Bayez told Rus, Hugadli, it was told to me, Huge Hugadli. It was told to me, Kol Asher Asisus Chamasecha, Achim Mais Yishech. everything you did for your mother-in-law after your husband died. And Chazal tell us, Lama shtei pam huge hu God. Why is it two times? I heard. Hugeli b'bayis, hugeli b'sada. I heard in the house, I heard in the field. So what does it mean, heard in the house, I heard in the field? What does that mean? It says, I heard in the house when everything was normal, everything was good. The house is a place where everything's okay. But even when you went out to the sada, that's the way you behaved. You didn't just behave like a frum girl in the house when everyone's watching. But I saw that even when you're out in the sada, even out in the field, you were still behaving with sneeze. That's the difference. And he says, that's the pshat in the pasuk. Baruch atah ba'ir, or baruch atah basada. Baruch atah ba'ir, whether you're at home, you're in the city and everything is good for you, or baruch atah basada, even if you're out in the field and everything's going to be challenging, everything will go, you'll be able to still maintain who you are, because if you stay who you are in the ear, you'll be able to stay who you are in the sada. Let me just do, I see it's late, so let's do one last thing. And it says in the pasuk, if you go over to pasuk Yud, it says, "Ro kol ha'amaretz ki shem Hashem nikra lecha v'yor mimecha," and all the amaretz will see that Hashem's name is upon you, and they will fear you. What does that mean, that Hashem's name is upon you? So just quickly, tells a great story, Rav Kamenetsky, about Rav Meir Shapiro. There's a famous story when Rav Meir Shapiro was the one who suggested the Daf Yomi. And he did this at the Kesiyah Gedolah of Agudas Yisrael in 1923, when he was a man of 37 years old. He was a young man, black beard, and he's going to thousands of people, Gedolei Torah, amongst them the Chafetz Chaim. So he had told the Chafetz Chaim his idea to make Daf Yomi, everyone should learn one daf at a time. And he was very nervous because there would be opposition. It's a brand new idea. Remember, new ideas don't go so fast in Klal Yisrael. Everybody's, they got to have buy-in. So the Chafetz Chaim wanted that this idea should go over. So the Chafetz Chaim told him, listen, I want you to do me the following favor. You're going to speak, but I want you to come an hour late. Come an hour late when everything is in place already. So okay, so Rav Meir Shapiro thought it was a strange request. Come an hour late? Okay, I'll come an hour late. So he walks in an hour late, and as soon as he walks in, the Chafetz Chaim jumps to his feet and yells out, Rav Shapiro has arrived. Stand up. And the Chafetz Chaim stands up for somebody. The whole place stands up for him. And they're all going crazy. Who's this young man with the black beard that the Chafetz Chaim stood up for? The Gadol Ador. I mean, the Chafetz Chaim was Gadol Ador, Gadol Ador. And everyone stood up and they all had covet for this man. And then the Chafetz Chaim introduces him and he says, now the Rav will address us with a new idea. When the Chafetz Chaim put his geshpanka, he put his stempel on that, then when Meir Shapiro said, everybody listen to him. He says, that's what it means in the pasuk. He says, if you'll do right, he says, when they'll see that you have God behind you, they'll all give you derech eretz. When you act in such a way that you're, as they call it, a man of the cloth, you're a person of religion, you're a person, I don't know, I see it when you travel. You travel and they're going there, they give you a certain respect. They see a person as a yid, and they have a certain respect. I'm not talking about the anti-Semitic, I'm talking about the people, the regular people. And they say, and that's what it says, if a person does things the way they're supposed to do, it says, Ro kol ha'amaretz, ki shem Hashem nikra lech of Yom Mecca. And then the Ribbono Shel Olam will listen to us, and the world will listen to us, because they see that it's not what you know, it's who you know. And we know the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the Ribbono Shel Olam is with us, then the world will listen to us. So I'm going to wish you all a ksiv ksiv taiva at this time. Next week, there will be a shir here in this office, in this room. I will not be saying the shir. Rabbi Fishel Schechter, Mirtz Hashem, will be giving the shir next week. As a Torah Bites, you're all most cordially invited. And Mirtz Hashem, we will resume. Is there a Thursday during Aseres Tshuva? I'm not sure.
Yeah,
there's Thursday. Okay, we will. So get your ksiv ksiv taiva. That's what I'll good. And Mirtz Hashem, we will reconvene during the Aseres Tshuva. Thank you.